Well, we've come to the final section on this epistle of on the second epistle of Peter. A letter here in which Peter has endeavored to stir you up by way of reminder, the first chapter, verses 13 through 15, and again in chapter 3, he has exhorted those who have obtained like precious faith to be diligent in abounding in spiritual growth. Chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. To listen to and heed the prophetic word that was made more sure. Chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. And for us to beware of false teachers that will lead many astray. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 22. And then in chapter 3, he talked about that we're not to be deterred by scoffers of the Lord's coming. Verses 3 through 9. And then he talked about that we're to live holy lives in view of the coming day of the Lord, verses 10 through 13. So as he draws to a close his epistle, it's evident that he is filled with love toward his brethren. He calls them beloved here in this chapter in the first verse and again in verse 8. And now in our text, he uses this term of endearment twice. In chapter 3 of the second letter, verses 14, and again in verse 17. With this kind of love in his heart, Peter pens his final words. He knows that he soon will die, according to verse 14 of chapter 1. And as far as we know, he never wrote another epistle or letter. And this ought to give special significance to Peter's final exhortations that we find in our text. Just as the final words of any dying man are significant in that they reveal what is of greatest concern to that person. What are the concerns of this aged apostle who dearly loves his brethren? Well, in verse 14, we find, first of all, his exhortation to be diligent, to be found in peace, without spot and blameless. This is another call to be diligent. It's found twice before in the second letter in chapter 1, verse 5, and again in verse 10. And this word means earnestness, zeal, sometimes with haste. And there it was applied to growing spiritually. Diligence in this text pertains to the Lord's coming. How will the Lord find us when he returns? Will he find us to be faithful people? Luke 18 and verse 8. Well, Peter desires that the Lord find us in peace without spot and blameless. Now, in peace can refer to both our relationship with God, Romans 5 and verse 1, or our relationship with man, 1 Peter 3 verses 11 and 12. Focusing on our peace with God will help us have peace with mankind, Proverbs 16 and verse 7. To be found by Jesus as without spot and blameless. How can that be? Only through the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ that we read about in Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 27. Christ, who redeems us from sin through his precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. If we continue to walk in the light, we will continue to enjoy that precious blood, 1 John 1 and verse 7. Now, diligence in such things will be determined by where we set our aim, looking forward to those things. Be diligent. It is only as we look forward that we can hope to prepare for what is to come, according to 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. So as we look for the grace that is to come, especially in reference to the new heavens and the new earth that Peter wrote about in 2 Peter 3 and verse 13, we will find the motivation to be diligent. Now the question is, are you looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells? If not, you will not be diligent to be found ready when the Lord comes. If you have allowed the lure of this world to distract your aim, because of the delay of our Lord's coming, then Peter's exhortation in verse 15 speaks to you. The next verse here in our text, he tells them and us to remember the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. The delay of the Lord's coming is not slackness, because time is irrelevant to God, 2 Peter 3 and verse 8. But rather, the Lord is willing to suffer long so that people like you and I might repent, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God's long-suffering should be seen as an opportunity to make our lives right, to repent. Every day, every year, or century that our Lord does not return should be thought of as the day of salvation. That's what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2. The day for souls to obey Christ. The day of erring Christians, the day for erring Christians to return to their Lord. Just like Peter, Paul wrote of God's long-suffering and its motivation to salvation in Romans 2 and verse 4. Peter himself certainly took advantage of God's long-suffering to repent, not only when he denied Jesus, but also when he played the hypocrite and had to be rebuked by Paul in Galatians 2. Peter's repentance in this latter incident is evident by his description of Paul, where Paul says, or he's described by Paul as our beloved brother Paul. He clearly had no animosity toward Paul for what may have occurred in Antioch. Are we also going to take advantage of God's long-suffering to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? As we do so, let's be careful to heed the exhortation that's implied in our next verse. Don't twist the scriptures to your own destruction. The scriptures are a great source of much good. They can save our souls, according to James 1, because they are given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. And because of this, they are living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. But they can also be abused to a lot of harm, just as a sword can be misused to the harm of the one who's using it. Twisted, the scriptures can lead one to their own destruction. Those most susceptible to misusing the Word of God are those who are untaught. Armed with a little bit of knowledge, they believe they're ready to do battle. But a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Unless one has studied the context, both immediate and remote, of a passage, it is so easy to misapply it. Another person that is susceptible to misusing the Word of God are those that are unstable. This would be someone that's a babe in Christ, the immature, who seeks to run with the scriptures before they've ever learned to walk, oftentimes stumbling as a result. So the need to heed not only Peter's warning, but Paul's admonition in 2 Timothy 2, where he gives the example of Hymenaeus and Philetia. You know, with such warnings, Peter, maybe we would be better appreciative of James's admonition, where he says in James 1 and verse 21, receive with meekness the implanted word. In passing, it's interesting to note that Peter places Paul's writings on par with the rest of the scriptures, implying that Paul's writings are to be considered as much a part of the canon as Old Testament scriptures. So finally, Peter concludes his epistle, with two exhortations that summarize the content of this entire letter. And that's found in verses 17 and 18. His final exhortation, the first of these final two, is beware lest you fall, being led away by error. This is found in verse 17, and it summarizes all that Peter was doing in chapters 2 and 3. His concern is in view of the very real danger of apostasy, of falling away. He's already described those who are guilty of denying the Lord who bought them, chapter 2 and verse 1, and those who have forsaken the right way and gone astray, chapter 2 and verse 15, who have escaped the pollutions of the world and are again entangled in them and overcome, chapter 2 and verse 20. He has just described those being untaught and unstable, and they twist the scriptures to their own destruction, chapter 3 and verse 16. Friends, the danger of apostasy is real. And so Peter says, beware lest you fall. And the final exhortation that we find here is to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is found in verse 18, and it summarizes the main points of chapter 1, where Peter had described the blessings by which come by grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and how one grows in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, and the need for frequent reminder and to heed the testimony of apostolic testimony and the prophetic word, chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. Now, in this final verse, it is the key to avoiding apostasy. He uses the word grow. Grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We do this by appreciating and appropriating all of God's unmerited favor. Grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as Peter has defined in chapter 1, developing those Christ-like qualities that he's listed. So Peter closes out his second epistle with a simple but heartfelt expression of praise. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, it was not long after Peter put these words to paper that he put off his tent, as he wrote about in 2 Peter 1 and verse 14, and joined that great multitude described by his fellow apostle John. That where he wrote in Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Friends, don't we desire to join that throne of people one day? If so, then let us heed these final words of Peter that he's written to his beloved brethren. We need to be diligent to be found in peace, without spot and blameless. We need to remember the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. And don't twist the scriptures to our own destruction. And we need to beware lest we fall, being led away by error. And we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, are you using the long-suffering of the Lord to apply all diligence in your growth in the grace and knowledge of the Lord? Or have you even begun yet? If not, go back to Acts chapter 2 and read the words of Peter in his first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. He gave a history lesson of the nation of Israel. And in verse 36, he was asked by those men, what must we do to be saved? And in the next few verses, Peter answers. And he simply tells them to repent and be baptized, every one of you. That's the beginning of growing. That's the beginning of not giving in to this apostasy. That's the beginning of learning to find peace. You may not agree with this lesson. That's fine. But if you would like to discuss it with me further, you can email me at djcurtis1963@hotmail.com. But as I've said in the past, be sure to bring your Bible and show me book, chapter, and verse where you think I'm wrong and you are right. I will be glad to sit down and have a Bible discussion with you or anyone else. It may be that you'd like to listen to this lesson again. You can go to the church's website, this churchateastside.com, and listen to it or past radio lessons, or you can listen to sermons that we've had recently at Eastside. You can also find more information about me. You can find information about the church there. You can also find our times of services. We would love to have you visit with us at any time at Eastside. Again, thank you for joining me.